إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our sixth session, reading from At-Tawdih wal-Bayan li-Shajarat al-Iman, Clarification and Elucidation of the Tree of Faith, by Al-Imam Abdurrahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'adi, rahimahullah. Our topic tonight is a continuation of the first section of this book, dealing with the ta'rif, or the definition, explanation of what is iman in the Sharia, in Islam. What is iman? And a few sessions ago we talked in detail and we mentioned several, or more specifically three definitions of iman that the Shaykh offers in the beginning of this section. And what we have been doing in the following sessions and what we will do tonight is to mention further evidences from the Quran and from the Sunnah which support the fact that iman in Islam is more than what is contained in the heart. Rather, it also includes every act of obedience to Allah, whether it is speech or action, whether it is from the actions of the heart or the actions of the limbs. Yani, whatever a person does inwardly, yani, in terms of the heart, and outwardly, in terms of the limbs of the body, speech and action, everything that a person does in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's in accordance with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is done sincerely for the sake of Allah alone, it is an act of iman, or it is a part of iman. So, we have been mentioning some evidences from the Quran and from the Sunnah, and tonight, inshallah, we're going to mention four matters or four evidences that the Shaykh mentions, I think, one, two, three, maybe four. Before we do that, we're going to go over briefly some of the points that we discussed in our previous session, number five, from questionnaire study guide number five. The first question being, mention three characteristics related to the heart of the believer. Mention in Surah Al-Anfal, the 8th surah, 2nd ayat, and that begins, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, that indeed the believers are only those who, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the some of the characteristics of the believers. So, three of them are related to the heart. Can anybody mention one of them from the matters of the heart? Naam, fadl.
When the Quran
is recited and they reflect upon the ayat of the Quran, their iman is increased. Another one, somebody else. Naam. Taqwa. Taib. Their hearts experience fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when the name of Allah is mentioned. When Allah is mentioned, they experience something out of their recognition, acknowledgement of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their hearts experience fear. And a third characteristic? Atawakkul. Naam. Dependence on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are from amongst the great characteristics, internal characteristics, characteristics of the heart that are a manifestation of true iman. Second question, mention two other sifat, two other characteristics of the Ahl al-Iman mentioned in Surah Al-Anfal, in the third ayah. Two other characteristics that are mentioned. Naam.
They keep up their prayers.
Yani the performance of prayers. The performance of prayers. The establishment of salat. Naam.
Spending in Allah's cause.
Naam. Spending from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided. So these are five characteristics Yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions concerning those who He calls the true believers. Yani إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Yani these are the believers, and only these are the believers, those who contain or who are described with these characteristics. طيب, question number 3, discuss how these ayat in Surah Al-Anfal support the comprehensive definition of iman held by Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. How do these yani ayat, what do they contain that support the comprehensive definition of iman? Al-iman al-shamil, that is the iman as explained by the Ahlul Sunnah. How do these ayat support this comprehensive definition? Naam.
That the belief in the heart is supported with the action of the limbs and the...
The belief in the heart is supported, yani, by
speech of the tongue
and actions of the limbs. Naam. Anybody else want to add? Okay, that's correct. Yani, just as a point of clarification though, we want to highlight that the comprehensive definition of iman includes the that which is contained in the heart as well as that which is manifested outwardly, meaning internally and externally. Yani ظاهراً وباطناً. We want to say that these ayat show the inward aspect of iman, the characteristics related to the heart, and the outward manifestation of iman, yani the performance of salat and zakat. This is what we mean by the comprehensive definition of iman of Ahlul Sunnah, that iman is not limited to what is in the heart. Rather, it is manifested by outward action, speech and action. Naam.
Insight. The basira.
Uh-huh.
The seeing with the heart, not the what you can actually see with your eyes.
Okay. Yani, that there are some things that related to insight. Yani, not eyesight. Yani, distinguishing between what we see, yani, mentally, what we see mentally, what we can conceptualize in our minds, and that which, yani, we see with our eyesight, yani, physically. So, yani, again, this is related to what? It's related to the internal and external manifestations of iman. That iman is not limited to what's in the heart alone. That's the point. Yani, the Murji'ah, they held the belief that iman is conviction in the heart. It doesn't include actions. And this is what we want to clarify, that iman is more than what's in the heart. Rather, if there's really iman in the heart, it has to be manifested by actions, by obedience to Allah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran when He mentions the iman of the believers, and then He said, وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ, that we are those who have submitted to Allah in compliance, obedience to what He has commanded and what He has prohibited. And they said, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. Yani, we hear and we obey, we comply with the commands of Allah and His prohibitions. It's not just something in the heart. Rather, it requires that we act upon it. If it is in the heart, then it must necessarily produce actions. True iman, if there's really iman there. And we're going to talk about that in a little more detail today and what the Shaykh mentions today. Okay, just to move along a little bit more quickly. That was question number what? Not question number 4. List the sifat of the mu'minun mentioned in Surah Al-Mu'minun, yani 23rd surah, first 11 ayat. And he mentioned the sifat that are mentioned in these ayat, other than salat and zakat. Other than salat and zakat. Now,
those who turn away from worthless talk,
yani vain speech, they don't occupy themselves with that. Another one. Naam. They protect their private parts. Yani the morality, yani of avoiding the haram. They have morals. This is part of iman. Yani iman includes the i'tiqad that's in the heart, and it also includes the speech and actions. It includes the ibadat, and it includes akhlaq and adab, manners and character and morals. And this is a reflection of the morals, the akhlaq of iman. As the Shaykh said in the introduction, in the third definition, he said that iman, it includes yashmalu, yani أقائد الإيمان وأخلاقه وأعماله. Yani what is believed in the heart, as well as the أخلاق, the character, manners and morals, as well as the أعمال, yani the عبادات, the acts of worship. نعم.
What about those who are
يُحَافِظُونَ يعني those who guard and protect and preserve the performance of the prayers. But in this question, we want other than the mention of the salah and zakat. So there's one more ayah that's mentioned here.
No, those who honor and trust their conscience.
Honor, yani the trust. Yani they fulfill trust and they keep their promises, the contracts that they make. They fulfill the contracts. So these matters, these four matters are mentioned in these ayat, along with as-salat and zakat, the mention of, yani avoiding vain talk, yani protecting one's yani modesty, morality, and yani fulfilling trust between Allah and you, and between you and the people, and keeping contracts. So these are matters that show yani the comprehensive definition of iman is not just that's what's in the heart, but it includes as well our a'mal, yani, and our akhlaq. Number five, I guess, right? Discuss how this sequence of ayat supports the comprehensive definition of iman held by Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Yani, these ayat from Surah Al-Mu'minun, how do these ayat support? Again, how do they prove the comprehensive definition of iman? Yani, we kind of discussed it already, right, in the previous question. But, yani, briefly, just to say that what? The comprehensive definition of iman means that iman is not just that which is in the heart. And these ayats show that it's more than that. That it also includes ibadat, salat and zakat. And it also includes, yani, akhlaq, character, and manners, and moral. And all of this is part of the comprehensive definition of iman. Question number six. Explain each of the three darajat, the degrees of excellence or superiority of the mu'minun. That is, some of them over others. What are those three levels of the believers? Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the believers are not all the same. So there is one level that is three levels. One of them?
One is, Naam? They wrong themselves. That's the first level.
Okay, so one of them is those who wrong themselves. Yani, ظالم لنفسي. Yani, those who do wrong to themselves. Naam. Another level? Naam. Those who are foremost, سَابِقُونَ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Those who are foremost in doing good deeds. And another level? In between? مُقْتَصِد. Naam. Those who, yani, do the minimum. Yani, the moderate or middle course. These are three levels that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions concerning the believers, showing that they are not all on one level. Yani, the سَابِقُونَ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Those are those who do all of the obligatory duties and avoid all of the prohibited things. They avoid they do all of the obligatory duties and they avoid all of the prohibited things, and as well, in addition, more than that, they also do the extra things that are mustahab, yani recommended, commendable things, and they avoid even things that are not haram, but they are makruh, in addition to not engaging excessively, even in the things that are permissible. Yani Allah allows, as one of the brothers told me a few days ago, he said that, what about playing basketball? Basketball is permissible. Playing basketball is permissible. What if a person wants to play basketball day and night? So then this is excessive engagement in something that might be permissible. But this is not praiseworthy. This is blameworthy. That a person excessively engaged even in things that are permissible. That was the example the brother gave me. I thought it was a good example. For some of us, mubah. Yani the things that are mubah now. That are permissible. Okay, and the muqtasid are those who do all of the obligatory duties and they avoid everything that's haram and they don't do any extra. The zalimun li nafsi, as already mentioned, are those who engage in some of the prohibited matters and fail to fulfill some of the obligatory duties. So they fall short to some extent. All of these are those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions as His chosen servants, who He has given the Qur'an as inheritance to. Meaning that these people, all of them, they won't be the same, but they will all be of the people of Jannah. Although those who are ظالم لنفسي, they may be punished for some of their sins, or Allah may forgive them if He wills. As far as the other two groups, then because they have fulfilled all the obligatory duties and they have avoided everything haram, even if they didn't do the extra, they will be yani admitted into Jannah without any punishment. The last question is, memorize the dalil from Surah Al-Fatir, 35th Surah, 32nd Ayah, for this division of Ahlul Iman into three groups. What is the delay for this? ثم أورثنا الكتاب. نعم. Anybody? تفضل.
ثم أورثنا الكتاب الذين اصطفينا من عبادنا فمنهم ظالم لنفسه ومنهم مقتصد ومنهم سابق بالخيرات بإذن الله ذلك هو الفضل الكبير.
نعم. So يعني Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then we have given as inheritance the book, yani the Quran, to those who we have chosen from amongst our worshippers. Some of them wrong their own selves, yani by engaging in some haram or failing to do some obligatory duties. Some of them are muqtasid, yani they just take the middle course, yani the bare minimum. They fulfill all the obligatory duties and avoid everything that is haram. وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقُونَ بِخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. And some of them are the foremost in doing good by the permission of Allah. That's the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ذَلِكَ هُوَ فَضْلُ الْكَبِيرِ. Yani this inheriting the book, learning the book, knowing, having the guidance and acting upon it, this is the فضل الكبير, the great favor, bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we have inherited the book. May Allah enable us to be of those who act upon it. Okay, tonight inshaAllah, بإذن الله تعالى, we are going to, as I mentioned, I think we're going to try to cover three or four of the evidences that the Shaykh mentions, maybe one of them just very, very briefly at the end, that the Shaykh mentions in this section, the first section, which is the definition of Iman, as well as its proofs and evidences, or some of its proofs and evidences. So the Shaykh here, he mentioned some fine points in this particular part of this book. He mentioned some fine points that are of great benefit, that are of great benefit. We are on page, Allahu musta'an, in Arabic we're on page 22. Right after the ayah of Surah Al-Fatir, 35-32, right after the ayah, the mentions we have given the inheritance of the book to those of our chosen servants. Right after that ayah, that's what we're going to read from. What page is it? 24. Top of the page, bottom of the page? The bottom of page 24 in English. Bottom of page 24 in English. In Arabic, on page 20, bottom of page 22. So the Shaykh, he says, وَقَدْ يَعْتِفُ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْإِيمَانِ الْأَعْمَالَ الصَّالِحَةَ أو التقوى أو الصبر للحاجة إلى ذكر المعتوف لئلا يظن الظان أن الإيمان يكتفى فيه بما في القلب وقد يعطف الله يعني sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will join يعطف يعني by the wow and wow العطف. The wow that's used as a conjunction to join between two things. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will join to al-iman, he will accompany it with the mention of al-a'mal as-salihah, righteous, good deeds. He will join al-iman, al-a'mal as-salihah, or sometimes he may join to it at-taqwa, the mention of observing taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or as-sabr, patience. Sometimes Allah will mention Iman and then He will join to it Al-Iman wa amal as-salih and righteous deeds or al-taqwa or al-sabr. Lil-haja ila dhikri al-ma'atuf. Due to there being a need and a benefit in joining these two things together.
Is it because of this?
The Shaykh says that sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will join to Iman the mention of some other things like righteous deeds or taqwa or sabr due to there being a need to mention the thing that's joined to Iman, to mention that thing specifically, to highlight that particular matter. Even though that thing may be a part of Iman, But he mentions iman generally, and then he sometimes mentions some part, yani some aspect of iman separately attached to it, and a person might imagine that that thing, that these are two separate things. That iman is one thing, and righteous deeds are another thing. That iman is one thing, and taqwa is a separate thing. Or that iman is one thing, and sabr is a separate thing. So the shaykh is saying here what? That there may be a need to mention this aspect of iman after mentioning iman generally. لِأَلَّا يَظُنُّ أَذْظَانَ أَنَّ الْإِيمَانَ يُكَّفَى فِيهِ بِمَا فِي الْقَلْبِ. So that a person would not imagine, would not wrongly think that the iman that's in the heart is sufficient. We don't need any more than that. So that a person would not imagine that as long as I have iman in my heart, I don't need these other things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning some aspects of iman, highlighting them so that you will know that the iman, if you have it in your heart, you need more than that. There are other aspects of iman, like righteous deeds, like taqwa, like sabr and so on. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is highlighting, yani reaffirming, showing the importance of certain aspects of iman after the mention of iman generally. Then the shaykh says, فَكَمْ فِي الْقُرْآنِ مِنْ قَوْلِهِ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. How many times, so many times, it came in the Quran that Allah mentions, indeed, those who have iman and who do righteous deeds. And He joined iman, the people who have iman, to the doing of righteous deeds. What is the point? That there is a need to mention that so that people don't imagine that the iman that they have in their heart, the conviction, the acknowledgement that they have in their heart is sufficient, so that they don't imagine that. Allah is saying no, and you also have to have the other aspects of iman, such as righteous deeds. ثُمَّ يَذْكُرُ خَيْرًا عَنْهُمْ. Then after this, after mentioning those who have iman and who do righteous deeds, then he mentions something good about these people who have iman and who do righteous deeds. He mentions something good about them. There are many places in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions iman and righteous deeds together. There are several ayats in the Quran that specifically has this exact wording, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. There are several places in the Quran that have this exact wording. From amongst them is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is not in the book, I mean it's not in the text of the book, the author, but any, I think in the footnote they mention some references for such ayats like this. One of them that I want to highlight is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Kahf, 18th Surah, 107th ayat. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ كَانَتْ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ نُزُلًا خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا لَا يَبَغُونَ عَنْهَا حِوَلًا. Yani Allah mentions those who believe and do good deeds, and then He says something good about them. In this ayat He said, indeed, those who believe and do good deeds, then they will have Jannatul Firdaus, gardens of Firdaus, the highest place in Jannah, the best place in Jannah. Yani as a residence and a provision for them. And they will remain in forever, and they will have no desire to come out of there. Another place like this is in Surah Maryam, 19th Surah, 96th ayat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجَعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ غُدَّا. That indeed those who believe and do good deeds, after He mentioned that, He says, Allah ar-Rahman will make for them love. Yani there will be love for them. Meaning, Allah will love them and the other people of righteousness. The people of Jannah will also love them. Allah will place love in the hearts of the people for them, and He Himself will love them. And another place is Surah Al-Luqman, 31st Surah, 8th and 9th ayat. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتُ النَّعِيمِ. That for them are gardens of na'im. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. To remain in it eternally forever. وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقًّا. And this is the true promise of Allah to the end of the ayah. And another place, in Surah Al-Buruj, 85th Surah, 11th ayah, Allah says, those who believe and do good deeds, لَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. They will have a reward that will never be cut off. Unending. And in Surah Al-Bayyina, 98th Surah, 7th and 8th Ayat, he mentions those who believe and do good deeds, لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٌ تَجَرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْكَبِيرِ. That for them will be gardens underneath which rivers flow. And that is the great success. And the ayats like this are many. But specifically, this exact wording came in the Quran many places. These are just a few examples where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, yani those who believe and do good deeds, and then after that he mentions something good, yani concerning them. The point here is that those who believe and do good deeds are promised Jannah. They are promised these rewards because they don't just have conviction in their heart. They didn't just acknowledge yani the tawheed of Allah, but then they acted upon it. Yani they manifested that iman with righteous deeds. That's the point. And further, I'm going to mention a couple of other references here before we read what the rest of what the Shaykh said because of the importance of this particular matter. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, in his very, very important classical book, Kitab al-Iman, which is a tremendous book, and I must say that it's not for everybody to read. Yani it is comprehensive and it is somewhat complex. Yani he mentions a lot of opinions of the people of deviation and refutes them. That could be overwhelming for some people. But in any case, in that book, he mentions this subject and how this is from the clear yani usages of conjunction in Arabic language, that something can be joined to that which it is a part of. Yani not when you say this and that, it doesn't always mean that these are two separate things. Yani the book and the pen. But the conjunction wow may be used to join two things, one of them being part of the other. And this is something that they refer to it as yani atf al khas al al-am, that something special, particular, specific is joined in conjunction to that which is general, that it is a part of. Clear examples of that. In case a person says, I'm not going for this claim that you're making, that إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, that this means that عَمَلُ الصَّالِحَاتِ is part of Iman. Yani this and that means these are two separate things. Well, let's see some, he mentioned many examples of the use of this عَطْف, this conjunction in Arabic, to show that something specific is sometimes mentioned after its general mention, that it is a part of, to highlight it, to emphasize it, to show its importance. And I'm just going to mention a couple of examples for the sake of time. One of the clearest examples is in Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 238th ayat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, حَافِذُوا عَلَى الصَّلَوَاتِ, guard and protect and preserve the prayers, the five daily obligatory prayers. And he says, wa الصَّلَاتُ الْوُسْفَى, and the middle prayer, وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ, and stand up in front of Allah, obedient to Him. And Allah says, guard the prayers and the middle prayer. So the middle prayer is something different than the prayers? No. It is one of those prayers that he said God, but he mentions it for what? The purpose of emphasizing it. Ta'akid, showing its ahamiyah, its importance. That this particular prayer, Salatul Wusta, is very, very important. It's one of those five prayers that you have to guard, but this one he wants to highlight. Wa as-salatul wusta. Hafidhu ala salawat. The salawat is the five obligatory prayers. Wa salatul wusta is one of them. It is Salatul Asr according to the best opinion, and there's a lot of difference concerning this particular affair. Another example of this is also in in Surah Al-Baqarah, also second surah, 98th ayat. We'll mention it. Man kana aduwan lillahi wa malaikatihi wa rusulihi. Allah says, whoever is the enemy of Allah and the enemy of His angels and His messengers, alayhi salam. And then he says, wa Jibreel wa Mikael, fa inna Allah aduun lil kafirin. And Jibreel and Mikael, for indeed Allah is the enemy of those who disbelieve. Allah mentioned the angels. Whoever is an enemy of Allah and His angels. And then He says what? And Jibreel and Mikael. And Mikael and Jibreel are from the angels. So this shows that what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is joining Jibreel and Mikael to the Malaika, even though they are part of the Malaika. That is from the bab of what? Atf al-khas al-al-am. Yani mentioning something specific after the general mention of it already came. The angels are already mentioned, but Allah wants to emphasize the importance of these two particular angels. Another example of this that is very, very beautiful is Surah Muhammad, 47th Surah, 2nd Ayat, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and those who believe and do good deeds. And then Allah says, وَآمَنُوا بِمَا نُزِلَ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ, those who believe and do good deeds, and who believe in what has been sent down upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the end of the ayah. Yani those who believe includes, yani believe in what was sent down to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the other prophets and messages, all of them. But Allah makes a mention here of a specific part of that belief, yani believing specifically in what was sent down to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam due to its importance. And these are some examples. Another example, but for the sake of time, I'll just skip it, give you the reference, Surah Al-Ahzab, 33rd Surah, 7th Ayat, where Allah mentions the prophets, and then He mentions specifically some of the prophets, and they are also included in what is intended by the prophets. So these are examples that show in the Arabic language, in the Quran, that something can be mentioned after it has already been mentioned generally, it can be mentioned specifically, and this doesn't mean that it's two separate things. So, when we see these ayats in the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, this doesn't mean that iman and righteous deeds are two separate things. Rather, righteous deeds are a part of iman. The Shaykh is going to emphasize this point as we go through the lesson tonight, inshallah. So, after he said that there are so many places in the Quran where Allah mentions, yani, iman and amal as-salih, for the purpose of, yani, because of a need to emphasize and to remind the people that they should not suffice with the iman that's in their heart, but rather they also have to manifest, implement the other aspects of iman, such as righteous deeds. The Shaykh says, "Wal a'mal as-salihat min al-iman." Yani, righteous deeds are a part of iman. Yani, they are a juz min al-iman. They are a part of iman itself. If iman is mentioned, just yani by itself, this includes righteous deeds. Iman is included in that. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to emphasize this aspect of iman, then He may mention iman and amal as-salih. Yani, amal as-salih is a part of iman. When you say iman, it's included in it. Iman includes that. So the Shaykh says here, number one, al-amal as-salihat min al-iman. It is a part of iman. And then he says, wa min lawazim al-iman. And it is also from the lawazim of iman, wa hiya allati yatahaqqaqu biha al-iman. And it is also, yani, righteous deeds is also that by which iman is established, is confirmed, is verified. Yani, so three things he's saying here. That righteous deeds are a part of iman. And that righteous deeds are from lawazim al-iman. Meaning, it is from those things that are necessarily inseparable from iman. Meaning that iman, yani from the fruits of iman is that a person does righteous deeds. There can't be, it's not possible for a person to have iman and there's no righteous deeds. Yani it's lazim, that if there's really iman in the heart, that there must be, yani it's a necessity. It is, yani there's no escape from it. There must be righteous deeds. So iman is, yani, amal as-salih, righteous deeds is a part of iman, and it's also from the lawazim of iman, meaning that it's from the fruits of iman. Iman produces righteous deeds. It must necessarily produce righteous deeds if it's true iman. And he says, and it is also, righteous deeds are also, that by which iman is established, confirmed, verified, realized, strengthened, increased. Yani by what? By righteous, by good deeds. When a person does good deeds, this is the confirmation that there's iman in the heart. And this strengthens the iman in the heart. Just like when a person reflects upon the Quran, وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِمَانًا. Yani the reflection on the Quran increases iman. It is a part of iman, because tadabbur, yani reflecting on the Quran, is an act of worship, an act of the heart. It's an from the amal al-qulub. It is an act of worship. It's a part of iman, but it also increases iman. So here the Shaykh is saying three things that I hope, yani, showing the importance of righteous deeds, that even though righteous deeds are a part of iman, we want to go further and say, it's a necessary, essential aspect of iman that is a fruit of iman. It has to exist. And it also increases iman. Yani, it confirms iman, and it strengthens and increases iman as well. Yani, iman is, yani, yatahaqqaqu biha al-iman. Yani, iman is proven to be true. It is confirmed, it is verified, it is established by righteous deeds. Yani, a person can claim day and night, as the Shaykh is saying here, in the next line, that they have iman. But the proof of it is, the fruit of iman. Yani, as we used to say in the old days, if a person claims this is an apple tree, you want to see some apples. That's the proof that it's an apple tree. Okay, until we see the apples, we don't have to believe it. Until you see righteous deeds, you can claim whatever you want to claim. It's just a claim. Without proof, a claim is just a claim. Somebody comes and claim that car belongs to me. Fine. You have any proof? You can claim whatever you want to claim. But it remains a claim until there's burhan. And the burhan of iman, as the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith, was-sadaqa burhan. Yani, as-sadaqa is a burhan, a proof that a person has iman. Righteous deeds are proof of iman. The Shaykh says, فَمَنْ اِدَّعَ أَنَّهُ مُؤْمِنْ وَهُوَ لَمْ يَعْمَلْ بِمَا أَمَرَ اللَّهِ بِهِ وَرَسُولُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مِنَ الْوَاجِبَاتِ وَمِنْ تَرْكَ الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ فَلَيْسَ بِصَادِقٍ فِي إِمَانِهِ. Yani, whoever claims that he is a mu'min, that he has iman, but he doesn't do any of the things that Allah and His Messenger ﷺ have ordered the people to do, from the wajibat, the obligatory duties, or abandoning the muharramat, the forbidden things, he doesn't do any of that. فَلَيْسَ بِصَادِقٍ فِي إِمَانِهِ. Then he is not truthful in his claim to iman. It's just a claim. After this, the Shaykh says, كَمَا يَقْرِنُ بَيْنَ الْإِيمَانِ وَالتَّقْوَى. Yani, just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may join to iman something that's a part of it, righteous deeds, sometimes he may also, yani, in the same way that he joins al-amal al-salihat to iman, likewise he may also join between iman and the taqwa. He may mention them also, yani, in the same line. فِي مِثْلَ قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى, like in the saying of Allah the Most High, in Surah Yunus, 10th Surah, 62nd and 63rd Ayat, أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَخَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Yani, أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ, isn't it a fact that the awliya of Allah are those who, there is no fear upon them, nor do they grieve. Yani, Allah is confirming here that His awliya, the people of iman and taqwa, that they have no fear and they don't grieve. And some of the scholars said that when al-khawf wal-huzn are mentioned together, then al-khawf refers to the future and al-huzn refers to the past. That there's no fear of the future because Allah has promised those who believe and do good deeds that He's going to reward them. And there's no fear, there's no, you know, huzn, yani grief over the past or what is left behind, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect whatever we have left behind. So the believer doesn't have any fear of the future when he goes before Allah, nor any huzn, yani any grief of what they're leaving behind, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's promise is true. And then he says, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, yani in defining who are the awliya of Allah, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. They are those who have iman and they observe taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, some of the scholars said that iman is an expression that's used to encompass the whole of the deen, and likewise taqwa. But when they are mentioned together, then iman refers to the i'tiqad, the conviction that's in the heart, and the righteous deeds that are done outwardly. And taqwa refers to abstaining from what Allah has prohibited. Yani, when iman and taqwa are mentioned together, then iman includes the internal and external manifestations, yani the belief in the heart and the actions that we do, and taqwa more specifically refers to the abandoning the things that Allah has prohibited. Yani when they are mentioned together. Otherwise, when they are mentioned separately, each of them include the whole of the deen. Okay, just quickly, there are some important notes concerning this particular ayah before what the Shaykh says, and I'm not going to read all of it because it's quite lengthy, but yani it is yani something that hopefully we'll go back to at some point. The famous Tabi'i, Talq ibn Habib, rahimahullah, when he was asked about a taqwa, he defined it in these words. Very important definition of a taqwa. Al-Imam ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, says this is from the best of what has been said concerning a taqwa. He said that a taqwa is an ta'amala bi ta'atillah, that a person act upon obedience to Allah. Ala nurin min Allah, based upon a light from Allah, meaning iman, based upon iman. Tarju thawab Allah, hoping for the reward of Allah. Wa an tatruku ma'asiyat Allah, and that they abandon doing acts of disobedience to Allah. Ala nurin min Allah, based upon a light from Allah, iman. Takhafu iqab Allah, out of fear of the punishment of Allah. Yani Ibn Qayyim explains this in some detail. I'm just going to summarize what he said. He said that taqwa, according to Talq ibn Habib, rahimahullah, is that a person, yani do acts of obedience to Allah, based on a light from Allah, because they have iman. Yani the cause of them doing the deed is because they have iman. Because iman produces good deeds. And they also not only have the cause of the righteous deeds, but they also have a goal to achieve. And that goal is to earn the reward of Allah. And this is mentioned in many hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. The most famous of them is in reference to Ramadan. Man sama Ramadan iman and wahtisaban. And whoever fasts the month of Ramadan with iman and ihtisab. Iman, yani is the cause of the action, and ihtisab is the expected, anticipated hope for reward from Allah. So in this hadith, in this statement, Talqi says that there has to be iman, that's the cause of the good deed, and there should also be a hope of expectation of reward from Allah. And the same thing with disobedience, the person abandons disobedience to Allah because they have iman and out of fear of the punishment. So the cause of them abandoning it is because they have iman. And the yani goal of abandoning it is to protect oneself from the punishment of Allah. So these two principles, al-iman wal-ihtisab, are very, very important. Something to think about. Whenever, as al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen said, whenever a person does a good deed, they must accompany it with ihtisab. Otherwise, the person lose out on a great reward. And Allah will reward the person who does a good deed with iman, but ihtisab increases that reward. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man sama Ramadan imanan wa ihtisaban." Having both iman, the reason why you did it, and ihtisab, hoping for reward of Allah. Then there's a special reward for that person who has both iman and ihtisab. Ibn Qayyim explains this in some detail for the sake of time. Summarized. After this, the Shaykh says, concerning this ayah, or these two ayah from the Quran, that indeed the awliya of Allah are those who have no fear nor do they grieve. They are those who have iman and taqwa. Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah said, "Man kana mu'minan taqiyyan kana lillahi waliyyan." Yani, "Man kana mu'minan taqiyyan." The person who has iman and taqwa, kana lillahi waliyyan. Then this person is a wali of Allah. So here in this little line of poetry, the point is what? That iman and taqwa are the essential ingredients of wilayah, of person being from the awliya of Allah. They have to have iman and they have to have taqwa. Yani, meaning the iman, the conviction in the heart, and the doing of righteous deeds, and the taqwa is abstaining from what earns the displeasure of Allah, disobedience to Allah. The Shaykh says, فَذَكَرَ الْإِيمَانَ الشَّامِلُ. After this ayah, the Shaykh says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned al-iman al-shamil, the comprehensive iman. Yani al-shamil lima fil qulub min al-aqaid wal-iradat al-tayyiba wal-a'mal al-saliha. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in this ayah, yani al-ladina amanu, this is the iman that is inclusive of what is in the heart of i'tiqad, beliefs, conviction, والإرادات الطيبة, and يعني intentions, good, pure intentions, desiring to do good, that's in the heart, والأعمال الصالحة, and all types of righteous deeds, whether inwardly or outwardly. This is the إيمان الشامل. He said, and then he says, وَلَا يَتِمُّ لِلْمُؤْمِنِ ذَلِكَ. But this, يعني إيمان الشامل, will not be completed for the believer حَتَّى يَتَّقِيَ مَا يُسْقِطُ اللَّهَ, until that person protects theirself from, guards theirself from that which earns the displeasure of Allah. يعني the إيمان, that comprehensive إيمان, that includes what is in the heart and doing righteous deeds. It will not be completed and perfected until a person also abandons that which earns the displeasure of Allah. It's not just doing good deeds, but it's also avoiding the things that Allah is displeased with. And that's why he said, يعني, well, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit because it's the next line. He said, the things that displease Allah, من الكفر والفسوق والإسيان. يعني including acts of disobedience that take you out of Islam, kufr. And acts of disobedience that don't take you out of Islam, fusuq, yani major sins, the greater sins. And acts of disobedience to Allah that are not from the greater sins, but are less than that. But they are also acts of disobedience. So Allah mentioned three things here. The Shaykh mentions, because it comes from the ayah, al-kufr, wal-fusuq, wal-isyan, three matters. All of them are disobedience to Allah. One of them takes you out of Islam, the other two do not. The other two, one of them is the greater sins, and along with it is that which is less than it. Yani al-kabair wa-saghair, the major sins and the lesser sins. The Shaykh says, a person must guard themselves from all these types of disobedience to Allah. Kufr, wal-fusuq, wal-isyan. وَلِهَذَا حَقَّقَ ذَلِكَ بِقَوْلِهِ. And for this reason, Allah completes, yani completes and perfects the iman by saying, they have to have what? وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. They have to have taqwa, abstaining from acts of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Shaykh brings the next evidence, or the third evidence. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Hujurat 49:7-8. 49th Surah, 7th and 8th ayah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first and foremost. He's talking about the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he says, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمْ الْإِيمَانِ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ وَقَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْإِسْيَانَ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الرَّاشِدُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَالنِّعْمَةَ يعني من الله وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. And here, the Shaykh mentions this ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ. But Allah, He has made endeared, beloved to you. Talking to the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, first and foremost, and the Muslims in general. Allah has made iman beloved to you. وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. And He has adorned it in your hearts. He has made it attractive, beautiful to you. وَقَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرُ وَالْفُسُوقُ وَالْإِسْيَانِ. And He has made detestable, disliked, yani to you, abominable to you, disbelief, and the greater sins and the lesser sins. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الرَّاشِدُونَ. These are those who are rightly guided in their knowledge and in their actions. فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَنِعْمًا. And this is a favor and a bounty and a blessing from Allah, that Allah has يعني made iman beloved to you in your heart, placed in your heart love for iman and hatred for kufr and fusuq wal isyan. This is a fadlu min Allah wa ni'ma. Wallahi, if we don't realize how fortunate we are that Allah has given us iman, that He has guided us to Islam, this is a favor from Allah. It's not something that we earned. We didn't buy this. We didn't do something so great that we earned it. Rather, it's a ni'ma from Allah, a fadl from Allah. That is, Allah gives it to whoever He wills. You're not entitled to it. This is a gift from Allah that we must be grateful for. And the gratitude for it is manifested in protecting it and preserving it and not taking it for granted. Allah Himself has حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمْ الْإِيمَانِ. He is the one who made it beloved to you. He is the one who adorned it in your hearts. Not in speech, but in your hearts. That's where it really counts. And then it will become manifest in our actions. And He has made kufr and fusuq and isyan hate it to you. To whatever extent we do not hate disobedience to Allah, whether it's kufr, whether it's the greater sins or the lesser sins, to whatever extent we don't hate it, that's a defect in our iman. Because the best of the people, yani, that Allah is addressing in this ayah, first and foremost sahaba, they loved iman and they hated kufr and fusuq wal isyan. And as for us, Allah only knows. Yani, we have to examine ourselves. Here, there's the mention of how this ayah, or these two ayat, even though the shaykh didn't mention it here as a proof for the comprehensive definition of iman, he intended here to prove the point what's mentioned in the previous ayat, that iman requires not just doing of good deeds, but it also requires abandoning evil deeds. So Allah says that the iman, yani, that Allah has endeared to us in our hearts, also requires that we hate the opposite of it, that which contradicts it, that which nullifies it, that is kufr, which nullifies iman completely, and fusuq and isyan, wickedness and other acts of disobedience that decrease iman. This is, he's mentioning this here for this point, to show that there are two sides. Yani, the doing of good deeds and loving it, and the abandonment of evil deeds and hating it. And this ayat is a clear proof of that, yani, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this is a favor from Him and a ni'mah from Him, and He is Alimul Hakim, and the Shaykh talks about this a little bit. I wanted to mention this ta'rif, but maybe I'll come back to it if we have any time in the end. The Shaykh, he says concerning this particular, reference, فَهَذِهِ, يعني this favor, this bounty, this blessing from Allah, فَهَذِهِ أَكْبَرْ الْمِنَنْ, يعني this is the greatest of the favors and bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has endeared iman to you in your heart. Because that's the real iman. And if you love something in your heart, that's real love. As far as the people saying, I love you, and I love you, and I love you, and then it will become manifest in time if they really love you. But the, what's in the heart is real. And this is the greatest favor of Allah, that He makes us to have real love in our hearts for iman and hatred for kufr and sin and disobedience. This is the greatest, yani, favor. And you habbiba, yani Allah, yuhabbiba al-imana lil'abd, that Allah makes the worshipper love iman. وَيُزَيِّنَهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ, and He makes it adorned, attractive in the heart of the believer. Yani it looks good, it feels good. I love it. It's attractive. Yani it's not something that I repulse, that I want to get away from. I need it. I know I need it. I love it. It's good. وَيُذِيقَهُ حَلَاوَتَهُ, and He causes that person to taste the sweetness of iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the tawfiq to a person to taste the sweetness of iman. وَتَنْقَادَ جَوَارِحُ لِلْعَمَلْ بِشَعَارِ الْإِسْلَامِ, and then that person's limbs surrender, submit, comply in acting upon what Allah, what is legislated in Islam. And due to what Allah has placed in the heart of the believer, the limbs follow suit. It submits, it surrenders. وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ, we surrender, we submit in compliance, in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a favor from Allah. Because nobody can claim that it's because I'm so righteous, that's why I do good deeds. Rather, those good deeds are due to the love that Allah has placed in our hearts for iman, and the attraction, how Allah has made iman attractive to us, and how Allah has allowed a person to taste something from the sweetness of iman, such that doing good deeds is enjoyable, it's pleasant, it's not a burden. That's the sweetness of iman. That a person enjoys this, and then they act upon it. وَيُبَغِّضُ إِلَيْهِ أَسْنَافَ الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ, and Allah makes it something hated, detestable, abhorrible to a believer. All types of things that are haram. This is the greatest favor. وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِمَنْ يَسْتَحِقُّ, yani in the end of the ayat, he said, وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَقِيمٌ, the shaykh says, Allah is the one who knows best. Who is deserving of this favor, of granting them this favor? Yani, who would be grateful for it and who would not? Allah knows best. Yani, who will appreciate it? Man yastahiqqu. يعني that Allah will favor them with this. وَحَقِيمٌ فِي وَضَعِي فِي مَحِلِّهِ اللَّعِقْ بِهِ. And Allah is wise in placing it in the appropriate suitable place. يعني in the hearts of those who will appreciate it, who will act upon it. It's based upon Allah's perfect wisdom. Then the Shaykh says, long style. Then the Shaykh says, كَمَا ثَبَتَ فِي الصَّحِيِّ مِنْ حَدِيثِ أَنَسِ رضي الله عنه أنه صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ثلاث من كن فيه وجد بهن حلاوة الإيمان أن يكون الله ورسوله أحب إليه مما سواهما وأن يحب المرأة لا يحبه إلا لله وأن يكره أن يرجع عن دينه كما يكره أن يكذف في النار. That there are three characteristics, three qualities. من كن فيه, whoever has those qualities, all three of them, وَجَدَ بِهِنَّ حَلَاوَةِ الْإِيمَانِ. And whoever combines these three qualities or characteristics, due to that, they will find the sweetness of Iman. They will experience the sweetness of Iman. The first of them, أَنْ يَكُونُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ حَبَّ إِلَيْهِ لِمَّا سِوَاهُمَا. That Allah and His Messenger, صلى الله عليه وسلم, are the most beloved to that person more than anyone besides them. Yani the love of Allah is the asl of Iman. It's the foundation of Iman. And the love of the Messenger follows it. Meaning, the love of the Messenger is because Allah has chosen His Messenger. Because Allah loves him. So it follows suit that whoever loves Allah, they love His Messenger. So this is the first characteristic. Loving Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than anyone or anything else besides them. The second characteristic, أن يحب المرأة لا يحبه إلا لله. That this person loves another person. يعني loves another Muslim, a mu'min, not anybody. Because what? لا يحبه إلا لله. He doesn't love him except for the sake of Allah. That means he has to be a Muslim, a believer. The second characteristic is what? That you love someone who is a believer and you love them only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not for some other reasons that we love people or we claim to love people for. And the third characteristic, وَأَنْ يَقْرَهَ أَنْ يَرْجِعَ عَنْ دِينِهِ كَمَا يَقْرَهُ أَنْ يُكْذَفَ فِي النَّارِ. That that person hates to return, to go back, to abandon their deen, just like a person hates to be thrown into the hellfire. In the Sahih of Muslim, the wording came for this hadith. This hadith is muttafaqun alayh. In Sahih Muslim, the wording came, and I want to mention this wording because of its benefit. يعني أن يقرأ أن يعود في الكفر بعد أن أنقذه الله منه. That a person hates to يعود, to return to kufr after Allah has saved them from it. Now maybe everybody wasn't in kufr before. Maybe they were born in a Muslim family and they were practicing Islam all their life. They never abandoned Islam. So then the first reading is okay. يرجع عن دينه. That a person hates to go to abandon his deen. But this wording in Sahih Muslim is very, very important for some of us who have accepted Islam. That is, that a person hates to return and ya'udu fil kufri, to go back to disbelief after Allah has rescued, saved you from it. And Allah has saved you from kufr. Everybody doesn't know what that's like, to have been in kufr and to be saved from it. How much they hate to go back to that. It's like the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said, some people, they didn't know what the kufr was. These people, yani the young companions, they were born in Islam. But other people, they knew what the kufr was. And they hate to return it, like a person hates to be thrown in the fire. And the person who didn't know what kufr was, they hate, yani to abandon Islam. In the same way a person hates to be thrown into the hellfire. The Shaykh says, فَذَكَرَ أَصْلَ الْإِيمَانِ الَّذِي هُوَ مَحَبَّةُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. So here in this hadith, the first quality is the mention of aslu al-iman, the foundation of iman. That is, loving Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's the foundation of iman. وَلَا يَكْتَفِي بِمُطْلَقَ الْمَحَبَّةِ. And we don't suffice with mutlaq al-muhabbah, just having base love, yani love in it of itself. That's not sufficient, that you just love Allah and His Messenger. بل لابد أن تكون محبة الله ورسوله مقدمة على جميع المحاب. But rather, it is a necessity that the love of Allah and His Messenger must have precedence over the love of every other love, everything else that's loved. It must have precedence over every other love, whatever that love might be. And the things that people love are many. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah At-Tawbah, I think in the 24th ayat, that if, yani your fathers and your children and your siblings and your spouses and your relatives and the wealth that you have worked hard to achieve and the trade that you fear loss of, and the houses that you are pleased with, if that's more beloved to you than Allah and His Messenger, min Allah wa Rasulihi wa jihad in fi sabilihi, يَتَرَبَّسُ, then wait, yani until Allah brings His command. Yani meaning that all of these things that people are endeared to, that they love the most, whether it is people who you love from your family, or whether it is things that you possess of wealth and property, if any of those things are more beloved to you than Allah and His Messenger, and fighting in the way of Allah, then wait until Allah brings His command. Meaning that the love of Allah has to have precedence, has to be more important than the love of anyone or anything else. The love of Allah and His Messenger. So the Shaykh, he says here that it's not sufficient to love Allah and His Messenger, but that love has to have precedence over everyone and everything else that you love. وَذَكَرَ تَفْرِيعَهَا بِأَنْ يُحِبُّ لِلَّهِ وَيُبْغِضَ لِلَّهِ. And then he mentioned that which branches forth from that love, the love of Allah and His Messenger, that is loving for the sake of Allah and hating for the sake of Allah. Yani loving other things, but for the sake of Allah. And hating things also for the sake of Allah. This is a branch of the asl, the love that belongs to Allah and His Messenger, first and foremost. Therefore a person loves the prophets, and he loves the siddiqeen, the truthful, and he loves the martyrs, and he loves the righteous. Because these people, qamu bi mahabbillah, because they have fulfilled, they have done the things that Allah loves. So we love them because they are doing what Allah loves, and Allah loves them. وَاخْتَصَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ خَلْقِهِ. And Allah, وَاخْتَصَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ خَلْقِهِ. And Allah has singled them out from amongst His creatures, His created beings. Allah has singled them out. Yani who? The prophets and the siddiqeen and the shuhada and salihin. Allah has singled them out. So we love them because Allah loves them. وَذَكَرَ دَفْعَ مَا يُنَاقِضُهُ وَيُنَافِهِ. And he also mentioned the third quality in this hadith. Anyway, he says that they hate to return or to abandon their deen or return to kufr after Allah saved them from it. In the same way they hate to be thrown into the fire. He said here he mentions the third thing, and that is repulsing whatever contradicts the love of Allah and the love of His Messenger and Iman and Tawheed and Islam. Repulsing whatever contradicts it and whatever nullifies it or negates it. That is kufr and whatever else is yani displeasing to Allah. Kufr wal fusuq wal isyan. This is the third quality. Yani loving Allah, loving for the sake of Allah, and then hating whatever yani contradicts or nullifies the love of Allah and the deen of Allah. That is أنه يقرأ أن يرجع عن دينه أعظم قراحة بقدر أعظم من قراءة إلقائه في النار. That he hates, that the person hates to go back, to abandon his deen, with a greater amount of hatred. Yani, an amount that's greater than the hatred of being thrown in the hellfire. The Shaykh says here, in our closing minutes, this is the last points that we want to make. فَأَخْبَرَ فِي هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَنَّ لِلْإِيمَانِ حَلَاوَةً فِي الْقَلْبِ. That Allah, that the Prophet ﷺ has informed us in this hadith that Iman has a sweetness that is experienced in the heart. Halawa. And there is some pleasant experience that is experienced in the heart. إِذَا وَجَدَهَا الْعَبْدُ سَلَّتْهُ عَنْ الْمَحْبُوبَاتِ الدُّنْيَوِيَّةِ وَعَنْ الْأَعْرَادِ النَّفْسِيَّةِ وَأَوْجَبَتْ لَهُ al-hayat al-tayyiba. Yani this halawat al-iman that's experienced in the heart. If a person has these three qualities, he said, if a person finds this, then they will be comforted, they will be consoled at the time of the loss of al-mahbubat al-dunyawiyah, whatever they love in the world, of worldly things. They will be consoled. They won't be in grief. They won't be troubled. They won't be down and out. Because what? The sweetness of iman will replace all of that. And if a person experiences the sweetness of iman, whatever they lost of the things that they love in the world, it won't even matter. Because of what? The sweetness of iman. So this is something that a person wants to strive for. Because we are experiencing losses in this world that trouble some of us. Some people break down and drop out because of the loss of something in the dunya. But whoever experienced the halawat al-iman, Allah, those things won't even matter. They won't even matter. Whatever it is, loss of property or wealth or even loved ones, the person goes on. Because they understand that everything is by the decree of Allah. And they have something to replace it, whatever they have lost. And likewise, their own personal goals and objectives. Whatever it is in this world that a person loses, you're trying to accomplish something, you have some goal or some objective or some thing that you are striving for, if you didn't get it, you're going to be okay. If you experience the sweetness of iman. And this sweetness of iman also necessitates for a person al-hayat al-tayyiba. Al-hayat al-tayyiba. Meaning that a person has contentment, peace and tranquility. Their heart and their soul is at rest. That they are satisfied, content with the provisions that Allah has provided them with in this world. They're okay. Yani this is the hayat al-tayyiba in this world. That a person's heart is at rest and their soul is at rest and they're content with what Allah has given them. And this is so, they will have this hayat al-tayyiba in this world. فَإِنَّ مَنْ أَحَبَّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ لَا هِجَى بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ طَبَعًا فَإِنَّ مَنْ أَحَبَّ شَيْئًا أَكْثَرَ مِنْ ذِكْرِهِ وَاجْتَهَدَ فِي مُتَابَعَةِ الرَّسُولِ صلى الله عليه وسلم وَقَدَّمَ مُتَابَعَتُهُ عَلَى كُلِّ قَوْلٍ وَعَلَى إِرَادَةِ النُّفُوسِ وَأَغْرَادِهَا. Yani, why would they have this hayat al-tayyiba, this good life? It is because whoever loves Allah and His Messenger, they will be constantly engaged in the remembrance of Allah. For indeed, whoever loves something, then they are frequently, constantly mentioning what they love. Yani that's what's on their mind, what they love. So whoever loves Allah and His Messenger, they will be constantly engaged in the dhikr of Allah. وَاجْتَهَدَ and they will strive to follow the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they will give precedence to following him over every saying of the people, every view, every opinion that anybody espouses. وَعَلَى إِرَادَةِ النُّفُوسِ وَأَغْرَادِهَا. And they will also give precedence to following the Messenger over the desires of their nafs and over the objectives or goals of their nafs. Yani meaning following the Messenger will be more important than whatever I desire, whatever it might be. We will abandon that for following the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَمَنْ كَانَ كَذَلِكَ. So whoever is in this condition like this, meaning that they are constantly engaged in remembrance of Allah, and they are striving and struggling to follow the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and giving precedence to following him over everything else, whatever we might desire ourselves. فَنَفْسُهُ مُطْمَئِنَّ مُسْتَحْلِيَةٌ لِلطَّاعَاتِ. Then this person's nafs, their soul, their self, will be at rest. And it will be at peace, will be tranquil. And they will be enjoying the sweetness and the delight of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will enjoy obeying Allah. They will enjoy the salat and the zakat and the siyam and the qira'at al-Qur'an. They will find pleasure in it. وَقَدْ إِنْشَرَحَ صَدْرُهُ صَاحِبَهِ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. And that person's heart will be expanded for the acceptance, yani and surrender to Islam. فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِّن رَبِّهِ. Since this person is upon a light from his Rabb, yani iman. وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ لَا يَصِلُوا إِلَى هَذِهِ الْمَرْتَبَةِ الْعَالِيَةِ. And there are many from amongst the believers who will not reach this very high station or this very high level. And the shaykh closes with the ayah from the Quran, Surah Al-Ahqaf, yani 46 surah, 19th ayah, also came in Surah Al-An'am, 6 surah, 132nd ayah, وَلِكُلِّن دَرَجَاتٌ مِمَّا عَمِلُوا. And for everyone, yani there are darajat, yani degrees or ranks or levels, مِمَّا عَمِلُوا, yani according to what they have done, according to their deeds. And this is also yani alluding to the definition of iman, that the people of iman are not all on one level. وَلِكُلِّن دَرَجَاتٌ مِمَّا عَمِلُوا. And that the excellence of some over others is based on what they have done. Yani not that somebody is given a special favor, they were born a millionaire, or they were given some special privileges in the society because of the color of their skin. Rather, people will have darajat based on what they themselves have done by the permission of Allah. Actually, we'll finish the time. Next week, inshallah, we're going to come back to this a little bit, because there are some other points, but I don't really want to keep going. I know we still have some time before the adhan, but in any case, we still don't want to be too lengthy. So, inshallah, I'm going to come back to 2 points next week. Naam, 2 points next week, and then we'll go on to the next proof that the Shaykh mentions for the comprehensiveness, or the comprehensive definition of iman. That is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, reported in the Sahihain, that iman is 60 or 70 some odd branches. The highest of it is la ilaha illallah, and the lowest of it is removing something harmful from the road. And haya, yani haya, modesty or shyness, yani is a branch from the branches of iman. We're going to start with that next week. After, we just go back to a couple of points that we wanted to mention today in reference to one of the earlier evidences, that is the ayah of from Surah Al-Hujurat, how these ayat are also a proof of the comprehensive definition of iman. Inshallah, we'll come back to that next week. And if there's any question in the study guide from today that we didn't answer today, then we'll also reserve it for next week. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Yani we'll just take one or two questions. If there's something that we said which is not clear, then we don't want to leave yani with something being left unclear. If there's a question or if there's a correction of something that was said, somebody can remind us. Yes. Surah Al-An'am. The last ayat that we mentioned?
Yeah, what was the number of the ayat?
The number of the ayat in Surah Al-An'am is 132. 6 surah, 132nd ayat. The place that's referenced in the book is Surah Al-Ahqaf, 46 surah, 19th ayat. But it came in both of those places, 46:19 and 6:132. Now, oh, I thought you had your hand up. Okay, so we're going to close with this, but I always like to remind myself and each of us that, yani, we hopefully our intention is not to gather together for an academic discussion where we share information and we might enjoy some of what we hear, perhaps. It might be in agreement with what we already know. It might be a reminder. It might be something new. The point is not to accumulate information, but the point is to look at ourselves and to examine what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran and what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have mentioned in the authentic hadith and how the scholars have explained it, so that we can understand better, specifically in this case, what iman is, what it entails, what are its component parts, what are its essential yani characteristics, so that we can know this, so that we can know what are the causes of its increase and its strengthening, and what causes it to decrease and make it weak, so that we can know what are its fundamentals and what are its branches, so that we can strive to realize it, to implement it in our lives, yani to know it and to act upon it. That's the point. So everybody, every one of us, we have to go back and look at these ayat, and look at these hadith, and look at how the Imam, Shaykh Abdul Rahman As-Sa'di, rahimahullah, has explained these points with a clarity that only a person who doesn't want to earn the pleasure of Allah, yani, will, only that person will not benefit from it.
Wow.
So it's incumbent upon us to examine ourselves, and then, yani, to justly judge ourselves. Where are we and where do we want to be? If we can't improve ourselves with this,
then maybe there's no room for improvement. Allahu musta'an. Whoever thinks that there's no room for improvement, they're already in trouble. Yani we must do a little better, and we must do a little more than what we're doing. Yani by the permission of Allah, because we don't know yani how much time we have left. This morning a brother sent me a message that an old timer that I knew from years ago from Dar al-Islam passed away. And 2 days ago, yani another one of our old timer brothers, one of our elders, yani who was very sick for years, and he used to attend our classes even when he was sick. Even sometimes he came out of the hospital that day and he came all the way from the Bronx to Brooklyn to attend the class. And he passed away. May Allah have mercy upon them. And every day people are dying. And all of them are not old people. Young people are also dying. So let us know that our time is limited. If we don't do better today, maybe we don't have tomorrow. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.